I'd like to study with you today a tefillah that we recite when we take out the Sefer Torah on Yom Sheni and Yom Chamishi. In the Nusach Ashkenaz, you'll see it, Kel Erech Apayim Vav Chesed V'Emes Al Biapcha Tochichenu Chusa Hashem Al Amecha Voshenu Mikol Ra Chatonu Lecha Adon Slachna Kerov Rachmecha Kel. A similar tefillah in a slightly different nusach you'll see on the left column of your siddur, Kel Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'Emes. The opening is identical, but the change is here. Al Taster Panecha Mimenu Chus Hashem, we have already Al Yisrael Amecha, and then instead of Hoshienu Mikora we have Hatzilenu Mikora. And then again, the final pasuk is the same. Chatonu lecha adon slachna kirov rachamecha kel. Perhaps the most starking contrast between the two, the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Lita, is the change from Voshienu to Vatzilenu. There's Chua, there's Hoshienu, and there's Hatzol, Hatzilenu. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes of your time to look at the Sidurim and the Perushim on the Sidurim with regard to this perhaps humble tefillah that we recite on Sheni V'Chamishi, and we don't really pay attention enough to it. In the Sidur Agra, he has two commentaries which I think are very important. One in the name of Virash Migermaizya, Kel Erech Apayim, again the opening three words, Tiknu Li Omro B'Sheni V'Chamishi, why was there Takana to recite this prayer that opens with Kel Erech Apayim on Mondays and Thursdays? L'fisha Yom Adinhu, these 2 days, Mondays and Thursdays, are days of din. Shebotei dinim yoshve bahem v'yasukim b'dinei momenos. On these days, the judges sit. They convene in Bezdin. These are days that are yomim kvuim lebezdin, dealing with monetary litigation. And that makes them into yimei hadin. V'lachen hirbu tachnunim. And therefore, of course, on these 2 days we have ribui tachnunim. The tachnun that we recite on any other weekday is relatively short compared to the tachnunim that are so long on Sheni V'Chamishi, on days of din. Pen yivasu hadin, because perhaps the judges will deviate from justice and pervert the din. Shalom b'rtzonom u'bidiyosom. Of course, they don't do so deliberately, but we're human beings. Human beings are fallible. There's evidence brought in the court. The judges weigh the evidence. They come to a decision. They hand down a verdict. And very often, they may be wrong. And therefore, we need tachnunim. Perhaps these tachnunim, if these prayers are accepted on high, Hashem will give the judges wisdom and guide them to make sure that they hand down the correct verdict. Well, perhaps we need tachnunim and rachamim because the verdict was not correct. It was not just. Either way, we see that this very, as I said, humble and short prayer and tachnun is a supplication that's appropriate for these 2 days of the week, Yom Sheni V'Yom Chamishi. Now we'll come back to the Sidur Agra in just 1 minute, but let me take a break and read one of the earliest commentaries on the Sidur. And that's the Avudraham, some 5 centuries ago. And he quotes a sefer called the Mishmeres HaMoados, who is focused on this difference, on the contrast between the two Nuschos that we have, the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Lita, whether it's Roshienu Mikolra or Vatzilenu Mikolra. And we need both of them. There's a linkage here between the two nuschos. They sort of, in a sense, complement each other. And that is, Hatam Shomer Barishon of Roshienu, Ubachron of Vatzilenu. We start with Roshienu and we end with Vatzilenu. We're suffering in Golos, we're in diaspora, and our urgent supplication, our prayer is for the Geula. And that is indicated by the word Vehoshienu. Vehi Yeshua Shlema. We ask for a full redemption and a return to our land. But we realize, we open our eyes, look around, and we see that we're living in Golos. And therefore, at that moment, although we've dreamt about the ideal, we've prayed for Hashem to bring about the ultimate Geula, the Yeshua, but now, on a Mavakshim Rachmim, Ki Gam B'Toch Zmane Yosenu B'Golus, we ask Hashem that He should pay attention to us and protect us even while we are in Golus. That's the immediate urgent need. Huyatzilenu mikolra. Here the word is Yatzilenu. We're no longer focused on the ultimate Yeshua. In the meantime, there are a few steps that we have to take, national experiences that have to lead to the Geula, to the Yeshua. But until that time, we need desperately Hatzolah. Mikolra, Mitzaras Ha'oivim, Ugzerosam. From the decrees of our enemies. And of course, he's referring here to the subjugation of the Jewish people, the pogroms, the anti-Semitism through the generations in diaspora. We need desperately that Hatzolah. So we may jump the gun, in a sense, in the first prayer and speak L'Rishona about the Hoshienu, the Yeshua Shlema, but then, realizing that we're not at that point yet, we ask Hashem to protect us in the Golos from these tzaros. That's called Yatzilenu. And that's the interpretation of the Mishmeres HaMoados. The Avodrami had something very, very fascinating. And he says that in the light of the Mishmeres HaMoados, integrating the two Nuschos, let's add up the words. This is one of those kind of gematria projects that add a new embellishment and a dimension of Torah Shebaal Peh. And he says, let's count up the osio. Let's count up the tevos. In the first nusach, there's only 24 tevos. In the second one, 26. But the total is 50. And the significance of the number 50, says the Avudraham, is keneged aser sadivros varboim yom sha'omad Moshe bahar lekabal haTorah. Our secret weapon as Jews, as a nation, is inherent in Torah. That's what we have. The Torah is there to protect us, and b'zchus haTorah we'll get to Yeshua. That is represented by the number 50, the 40 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. And of course, the Torah that was given when he came down was the Aseres HaDibros. That's 40 plus 10 is 50. 50 represents that number, a certain shlemus. We speak about it with regard to Yovel. It means that Ma'od, again, depending upon how you spell the word Ma'od, of 50 that goes beyond. And we have the Torah, and that's 50. And to go beyond, we get the Geula, and of course the Hatzolah. Now let's get back to the Siddur Agra. And in this case, he quotes another Pirush, and that is the Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe also had a Mesorah back to the Rishonim of Chachmei Ashkenaz. And he says that in the Nusach Ashkenaz, we have 24 words in this humble prayer called Keler Chapayim. Yesh bo chavdalit tevos keneged chavdalit sfarim. The significance of the number 24 is first and foremost the 24 books of the Holy Writ. In other words, chavdalit kisvei HaKodesh. And what we're asking Hashem in this deep, profound supplication for protection and compassion is Klomer Mavarnu al Chavdal Tzfarim. If, heaven forbid, we violated all the 24 books of the Holy Torah, Slachna Berov Rachamecha Kel. Again, the emphasis here is on the word Kel, because that's the opening word here in this 24-word supplication, and we ask Hashem for Rov Rachmim. We need Rov Rachamim, we need a very heavy and profound Rachamim, because we violated the Chavdan Svarim, and that's Kel. Kel represents Rov Rachamim, not just standard Rachamim, but a compassion beyond compassion. And the Matan Moshe goes on to say that there's another significance to the number 24 here, the 24 Tevos, is 24 Shos B'Yom V'Laila. That too represents symbolically our violation of the Torah. 24/7, 24 hours a day. Imavarnu al Torascha b'chol chavdal shol shel yom v'layla. If you take the 12 hours of day with the 12 hours of night, we have violated the Torah. Chas v'shalom is therefore chavdal shos. Islachna b'schus haTorah. And where does the schus haTorah come to counter? And as a refuah, an antidote, a slicha v'kapara for the 24 hours of sin, that's the 24 books of the Torah. U'kineged chavdal loshon kapara shator mechaper sal averos, 24 times the word kapara appears, and that 24 means the kapara, the averis that we committed because we violated the 24 books of the Torah, chas v'shalom, or because we violated the Torah 24 hours a day. And this Matan Moshe is based on Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and we're really going back in time. So we have a lot of deep symbolism in this very short prayer, Kel Erech Apayim. We start with Kel, which represents Rov Rachamim, a very profound Rachamim. We have the 24 words in this prayer, and in this prayer we ask for the Yeshua, meaning the ultimate redemption. Those 24 letters represent a bakoshas kapara keneged 24, keneged 24 of svarim that we violated, keneged 24 hours that we violated, and then we integrate that number 24 with the Kel Erech Apayim of Hatzilenu Mikol Ra, which is another 26, and we get 50, and again the Schus HaTorah here, whether it's the 40 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros at the end of that period, when we, Klal Yisrael as a nation, received the Torah, then it means that this communal entity called Knesset Yisrael has the ability to supplicate, to pray in front of Hashem on these days of Din, whether it's Yom Sheni, whether it's Yom Chamishi, and beg Hashem for both Yeshua and Hatzolah. Yeshua first, and then we have to ask for Hatzolah in the meantime. And the 50 letters, the 50 words, I should say, of these two nuschos, which are integrated into one, the element of Hoshienu and Hatzilenu, those 50 represent the Torah. So we ask Hashem, whether it's in the Nusach Ashkenaz with the 24 books of the Torah, to have Rachmanis, to have this Rachamim of Rov Rachamim, because we really need it. The din is very severe, the judgment could be Hashem very harsh, and therefore we ask B'Zchus HaTorah with these 50 words that Hashem protect us. Now I'm not saying that we should recite both Nuschos, maybe it can't hurt, because I think the Avad Raham would almost definitely advocate reading both nuschos. Each nusach adds something to the other. One is mashlim the other, and the complementary of the two represents, number one, the Hoshia and the Hatzolah, and number two, the number 50, which is the symbolism of the Torah to counter the din, because that's our merit, that's our collective uniqueness as a nation. We're an Am Segula because we have the Torah. Now, we've looked at two Sidurim so far, I mean commentaries, and that's the commentaries on the outskirts of the Gra, in the Sidur HaGra. We've looked at the Avad Raham. Let's take a look for a moment at the Sidur HaShalah, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, who is one of the great holy giants of modern Ashkenazic history. And he writes, Kel Erech HaPayim V'Rav Chesed, he's referring to the Nusach Ashkenaz at this point, Chof Dalet Tevos Keneged Chof Dalet Svarim. He has the same Mesorah back to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that we saw the Matan Moshe. And then he adds that l'chora, there's something strange here, because if we go back to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachman as formulated in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Kitison Shmos on the Dalit, it says Kel Erech HaPayim. And in the Torah, it doesn't say Kel Erech HaPayim in the Yud Gimel Midos. Here in the Tefillah it says Kel Erech HaPayim, but in the Torah, in the original form, it's Kel Rachum V'chanun Erech HaPayim. So he points out that in the Tachanunim, the long sort of slichos that we've recited already before we're ready to take out the Torah, we've already mentioned Rachum V'chanun time and time again. Kfar Zacharnu Rachum V'chanun Kama Po'amim. And therefore there's no need to reiterate Rachum V'chanun. What we're interested in here is an introduction to the Torah. The Torah reading is going to be the culmination of our Tachnunim, of the especially long Tachnun that we recite on Mondays and Thursdays. It's the Torah. And he writes that if the purpose of raising the banner of Torah as a merit, so that we can be zochet to Geula, to Yeshua, then he says, notice Kel Erech HaPayim three words consecutively, because again we've dropped Rachum V'chanun because we've already supplicated Hashem with those names, and we're ready for three words, each of which that start with an Aleph. Kel Erech HaPayim. What's the significance of three Alephs? And the answer is Gimel Alfin Heim. They correspond to Eyeh Asher Eyeh. In other words, within the context of Moshe Rabbeinu's supplication in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel in Shmos Lamed Daled, Hashem speaks about Eyeh Asher Eyeh. And the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Tes explains, what is Eyeh I will be, Asher Eyeh I will be? Eyeh Imohem Begolus Zeh, V'Eyeh Imohem Begolios Acheros. Now the Jewish people are entering into the Midbar. There's going to be 40 years before they get to the land. And God promises, I will be with the people, I will accompany them during Golus, and even in Golios Acheros, after the Korban Bayis Rishon, after the Bayis Sheni, up until our day, Hashem promises He will be with us. That's the Kel Erech HaPayim, the Eyeh Asher Eyeh prayer. We see how profound our prayers are, the way they were formulated, in order to have symbolic meaning in numbers of letters, in the choice of words, in the first letters of words that are consecutive in order, in terms of what Hashem has already, the description of Hashem that we've already presented, and now not repeating those descriptions once again, those tachnunim have already been registered, and now we can go on to Kel Erech HaPayim. But so many different nuances of meaning that all lead up to the fact that Hashem, we ask for a Yeshua and a Geula. We ask for Hatzolah from the Oivim in Golus, and all this B'schus the Torah that we're about to read, that's the ultimate gift that Hashem could promise us in response to all HaTachnunim, is Kel Erech HaPayim, is Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Hashem will be with us to protect us in this Golus and in any other Golus. And then, if we move on in this prayer, we have a closing line which appears in both nuschos, Slachna Kirov Rachamecha Kel. The last two words are Rachamecha Kel. Kel, of course, is the opening word in this supplication, and now becomes the closing word. So we have these bookends, Kel, Kel. And the Shalom points out that when you take the word Rachamecha and you attach it to the word Kel, forming in a sense a longer word, you can take that word Rachamecha Kel, again it's really two words, and you can divide it up in a different way. Take the Resh Ches at the beginning and separate it from the Mem Yud Chaf Aleph Lamed. So let's put the Resh Ches on the side for a minute. We'll see what the significance of that is. and let's just read the letters as if it was a separate word. Mem, Yud, Chof, Aleph, Lam. That's Michael. Now, Michael plays a major role as a malach at the end, the culmination of Akedas Yitzchak. And if there's anyone that we should mention in our supplications, as we do over and over again on the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's Yitzchak and the Akedah of Yitzchak. And according to Chazal, Yitzchak was kaviyachol burnt on the Mizbeach. And we have something called Afro Shel Yitzchak. And that's our great schus. And that's what we conclude this prayer with, Rachamecha Kel, Reish Ches, which is Reish is 200, Ches is 8, so you have 208, is the same identical gematria as Yitzchak. Because if you take the Yud and the Tzadi of Yitzchak, you have 100. And the last Kuf, last letter is Kuf, is another 100 with a Ches in the middle. That's called 208. That's parallel to Yitzchak. So the Reish Ches is Yitzchak. And Michael is the Malach who is going to show Klapei Mala up in Shamayim, the Deshen Shel Yitzchak, the Eifer Shel Yitzchak. And the Eifer Shel Yitzchak is collected Lamala. And all this the Shalok quotes in the name of the Marich Heretz. And again, we have a very important symbolic message in these last two words of the prayer, Rachmecha Kel. We're talking now not the schus of the Torah per se, but the schus of the Deshen Shel Yitzchak, which is Tzara Lamala. That's Reish Ches Yitzchak. And then Michael, who is the Malach who brings the Deshen of Yitzchak Lamala and points it out. I mean, it's there and it's present in front of the Kisei HaKavod, but the Malach is the defense attorney for Klal Yisrael, Saint Hashem. We need the Kel, we need that Rachamim. We called it Rov Rachamecha. And why? Because of those very heavy sins represented by the Chaf Dalet words here, which represent the violation of Chaf Dalet Sfarim or the Chaf Dalet Shol Shel Yom Laila. And we're afraid of this harsh judgment. We need Yeshua Natzalah. We're asking Hashem the one in Bizchus HaTorah, the Torah 50, and Bizchus the Deshen of Yitzchak, which is Rachamecha Kel. The Shalom goes on as if he hasn't said enough already for us to digest, and he says, Vekel Erech HaPayim, this prayer, Maskil Bekel, Umasayim Bekel. It opens with the name of God, Kel, Aleph Lamed, and closes with Kel. And he has a whole Kabbalistic explanation about how Kel is that name of God that when we invoke it, gives us protection against the powers, the secret contaminating and destructive powers of the Chitzonos, which is again a Kabbalistic notion of these forces of the prosecutors against us, the Kategoria, that come in front of the Kisei HaKavod Chas V'Shalom with Dalturin Al Yisrael, with negative Lashon Hara against the people of Israel. And those Kochos Chitzonim, those powers against the people of Israel, the powers of Kishuf, are called in the Kabbalistic writings, based on a pasuk in Shlomo HaMelech, that it says, Vayehilo Elef Noshim, that the thousand wives, Kaviyochel of the Melech, Shlomo represents symbolically the Kochos Chitzonos that we mentioned before. And in a sense, when we say the word Kel, we're indicating a certain power of protection that we need against these noshim, these powers of the chitzonim that come up on high to prosecute against us. And we must start with the word Kel and end with the word Kel, because when we talk about Shlomo HaMelech and these Elef Noshim, the Kochos HaChitzonim in the symbolic sense, it says, for who Moshe Bakol, that Shlomo HaMelech is able to subjugate, to control these Kochos HaChitzonim, And we must start, therefore, our supplication with the word Kel and finish with Kel, because Kel is the might and the power, Lashon Koach. And he invokes a pasuk in Tanakh, in Malachim Beis, it says, V'ele ha'aretz lakach. Or V'yes ele ha'aretz lakach. And ele ha'aretz on the mighty ones of the land. So we ask Hashem for a very powerful, as we said before, Rov Rachamech HaKel, a Kel of Rov Rachamim. We need an unbelievable power on the days of Din, on Sheni V'Chamishi, when the Kochos Chitzonim Chas V'Shalom Kam L'Mala with Dalturin Al Yisrael, we must have Kel. We need the might of God's compassion in the most profound and powerful way that exceeds regular compassion, to reach that Madrig of Kel in order to protect ourselves on these Yom HaDin, Yimei HaDin of Hay, of Beis V'Hay, against the Kochos HaKitzonim, the Noshim, as we call them, that symbolically represents that Dalturin, that Chas V'Shalom, that Kategoria, that terrible prosecution against Klal Yisrael on these Yimei HaDin. So these are days, Monday and Thursday weekly, every single week of the year, in which we have to be very anxious about the possibility of our spiritual enemies on high, who are coming to attack us and prosecute against us. And we need this special tefillah, this special tachnunim, beginning with Kel and ending with Kel, because it's only the power of Kel, with its extreme rachamim, rov rachamech l'kel, that can counter against these powers of the Chitzonim, so we could reach that Darga of Shlomo HaMelech of Ahu, Moshel, Bakol. So paradoxically, the word Kel, which really means might and power, Koach, like in the Eseli, Eli Haaretz Lakach, is the same word that indicates the name of extreme compassion, a very profound compassion of Hashem that goes beyond regular compassion. That's the Koach that we need on these days of Sheni V'Chamishi, these days of Chas V'Shalom, Chitzonim, and Kochos, that are Dalturin Al Osim, Dalturin Al Yisrael. We need that special compassion that's beyond compassion of Kel, that mighty compassion. And Rashi, already back in the parsha that we read a few days ago, Parshas Ki Tisa, on the pasuk Vayavar Hashem Al Panov Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Rashi points out that the name Kel, which follows the name Yud Kei Vav Kei written twice, is Midas HaRachamim. So Hashem Hashem, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei twice, is Midas HaRachamim. Rashi invokes the Sifri at the beginning of Aschanon, Achas Kodem Shiechto V'Achar V'Achas Li'Achar Shiechto V'Yoshuv. It's Gemara Rosh Hashanah as well. And those are the two forms or expressions of Midas HaRachamim of Kodem Achet and Li'achar Achet. And now Kel is the third name here, Afzu Midas HaRachamim. And Rashi, to prove that Kel is Midas HaRachamim, quotes the Pasuk in Tilm Chav Beis, which was relevant more than a week ago on Purim, Keli Keli Lama Zavtoni, the prayer that Esther has on her lips, and Keli, Keli, Loma Zavtoni could not be a reference to Midas HaDin. You would not say, Loma Zavtoni, why did you forsake me, Midas HaDin? Why did you ignore me? But obviously, the Keli, Keli is referring to Midas HaRachamim. And that's what Rashi quotes in the name of the Mechilta. But the obvious question, which we'll get to very shortly, is if Hashem Hashem, the first two of the 13 attributes of God, are Midas HaRachamim, why do we need the Kel, as Rashi says, Afzu Midas HaRachamim? First, I want to point out to you that the Ramban, not here in Parshas Ki Tisa, but back in Parshas Beshalach, on the pasuk Zeh Keli V'Anvei L'Kei Aviv V'Aromimenu, Rashi points out in the name of the Mechilta that Keli means Keli Imi, Because the people of Israel are saying that Keli is with me, which means me, meaning the nation of Israel, Noag b'midas harachmim, and then Elokei Avim havosai b'midas hadin. So we, the children, have merited midas harachmim, that's called Keli, whereas in the case of the Avos, they lived and Hashem relates to them b'midas hadin, and they're fine with midas hadin, they survive it, because they're the greats. And that's Elokim. Elokim is Midas HaDin. And again, the Ramban, quoting the Mechilta that Rashi referred to, says, "Uminayin she'ein keli ela Midas Rachamim, shenemar keli keli lamazav tani." The Ramban, in the name of the Mechilta, quotes a little bit more than that. Kel na rafan Allah. That was the prayer of Miriam after she had Tzaras. And again, she calls Hashem Kel. Kel na rafan Allah. Or another Pasuk quotes from Tanakh, El Kel Hashem Vayor Elanu, which again, Vayor Elanu means to lighten up our way with Midas, compassion. So we have both Rashi and Ramban, almost word for word, verbatim, emphasizing that Kel is Midas Harachamim. This we saw already back in the earlier Mefarshim that we referred to, where we talked about this prayer of Slachna Berov Rachamecha Kel. So there's a Rov Rachamim Kel, and that is because of the 24 that we discussed at great length. And the Kel of Rachamim that's going to disperse and neutralize the Noshim, the Dalturin Al Yisrael of the Kochos HaChitzonim. All this is fine until we get to the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos on Daflam and Gimel and Aleph in the name of Rav Ami and Rabbi Lazar. G'dola deo shenitna ben shtei osil shenemar kikel deos Hashem. So the word deo, here it's in the plural form, is wedged between two names of God, Kel and Yud Kei Rachman Kel deos Hashem. And this, according to the Gemara, indicates how significant Dea is, because it's surrounded by two names of God. And of course, on the Agadat in Brachos, there's a very fundamental commentary of a Rishon, of the Rashba, very unique to have a Rishon on Agadat. And he writes, Amar Rabbi Lozer, G'dola Dea Shenitna Ben Shtei Osios Yeshba Zesod. He says that there's a secret mystical concept here of the two names of God and Dea being sandwiched in between them. Ukvar yadata shebolehem zal v'kam makomos sha'alef lamenu midas hadin v'yud kei vav kei midas harachmin. Now, clearly the Rashba is not referring to Elokim, he's referring to Kel, because the pasuk that he's talking about is Kel Be'os Hashem. And all of a sudden, in contrast to what we've seen over and over again, and especially in Rashi al Torah and the Ramban back in Parshas B'Shalach in his commentary, and told that Kel is Midas HaRachamim, now all of a sudden the Rashba has Kel as Midas HaDin. It's only Yud Kei Vav Kei that's Midas HaRachamim. So basically the Deah is so significant because it's surrounded by Midas HaDin on the one end, that's Kel, and on the other end, Midas HaRachman, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So we have now a paradox, and basically we have two questions to ask. Number one, in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman back in Parshas Ki Tisa, which Hashem teaches Moshe, we start with Hashem Hashem, which are both Rachamim, whether it's Kodem Achet, after Achet, and then Kel, which Rashi and the Ramban identify as Midas HaRachamim. Why do we need a Midas HaRachamim if we've already had two Midas HaRachamims? We need the two because of Kodem Achet Le'achar Achet, but why do we need a third? And question number two, which is even more severe perhaps, is the contradiction here between the Rashba and his understanding of the Gemara in Brachos, that Dea is surrounded by Kel Midas HaDin and Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei Midas HaRachmim. It means that Kel is Midas HaDin, and he says it explicitly, Aleph Lamed Hu Midas HaDin, which really contradicts and undermines everything we've been saying until now. So what we want to do is, we want to, number one, note that this question was raised about 4 centuries ago by the Taz. The Taz, who's famous, of course, for his commentary on Tanakh, also wrote a commentary on Rashi al Torah called the Divrei David. Taz's name was David. And on this word Kel, back in Parshas Ki Tisa, and we saw Rashi says, Af Zu Midas Arachnu, he writes, Ein lahakshos mat sorach lemidas harachamim hazu kevin sheyesh kvar beis midas harachamim. So at this point he's asking our first question, why do we need kel after Hashem Hashem, the double midas harachamim? Why another midas harachamim, as Rashi says, kel? Later on we'll get to the second question about how to reconcile the Rashba with the other Rishonim and the premise that kel is midas harachamim. Says the Taskra Kosmu Hamekubolim, the Kel Hu Rachamim Gemurim. It means that at a certain point, even the meat of Rachamim sort of peters out, if you will, and in the profoundly precarious situation of those who are being judged, we need a greater Rachamim that supersedes, that goes even beyond Rachamim. That's the Kel. Now he goes on to ask the second question. But Rashi Pirish B'Mokamaka, we saw it in the Rashba, he quotes it in the name of Rashi, Kel Hu Midas Hadin HaKosher K'mo Ves Keli Ves Eli Eli Ha'aretz Lakach. So in other words, that might and that power of Eli Ha'aretz is a reference, as Rashi, to Midas Hadin. But Rashi here in Chumash and the Rabban as well identify Kel as Midas HaRachamim. So again, the Taz is reiterating the stira that we raised, not as we raised it between the Rashba and his commentary on the Agadot and Brachos and Rashi and the Rabban, but as an inner contradiction in Rashi, where Rashi says that Midas, that Kel is identified as Midas HaRachman, but he also identifies Kel as Midas HaDin. So to answer this, we're going to look at the insight of the Tzlach in Brachos, the Nodeb Yehuda, who wrote the Tzlach, the Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya, on the Gemara Brachas Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. This Haggadah formulates and presents a concept called Shas Zam. And the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Zayin, Umi ikar rischa kame kutshebrichu, is the kaviyochel anger with regard to the Almighty. In there is disanya vekel zoem b'chol yom. There is this moment of anger on a daily basis up in Shamayim. Vekama zaamo, how long of a time period is this daily zaam, slice of time? Rega. Okay, there's a whole discussion about what rega is, exactly how much time it constitutes. That's not for us now. I just wanted to show you the insight of the Tzlach. He writes, Alzei v'irai b'posik v'tilim v'kel zoim b'chol yom v'yodua shekel hu midas ha'chesed. He is emphasizing the Rashi and Ramban ala Torah that we've seen earlier, that kel is midas ha'chesed. V'yud gimel midos yochichu. It has to be that, because haskalosim shem zeh, they consist of names of God which are midas harachmim, yudgimel midas harachmim, and kel is there. So we have no doubt that kel is rachamim, and yet the pasuk says kel zoem b'chol yom. Kel is getting angry. How do we reconcile the daily zam of Kel with the fact that Kel is midas harachamim, midas hachesed? He says, "V'im kol ze zoeh b'chol yom b'sha'ah kvuah l'zam, v'zeh midas hachesed shetekef b'rega over azam v'nishar chesed al kol hayom." He says the fact that there's going to be zam b'chol yom, that's almost a given. And it's got a shah, it's got its hour. But the midas hachesed of Kel, and that's the paradox of Kel Zoim b'chol yom, is that if left alone, that shas azam would just completely destroy the world. We have to convert that Shas as Zam, sort of rechannel it or neutralize it and make it into Midas HaChesed. That's the power of Kel, that Tekef, Berega, that this Shas Zam lasts for only a Rega, a snap of the finger, and the rest of the day the world could exist. And all this is based on the fact that Kel Zoim, that paradoxically the same Kel that's angry is the Kel of Rachamim, that cuts short the life of the Zam to one split second of a Rega. And I think perhaps the one who really embellished this idea way before the Tzlach is the Sefer HaChinuch himself. And in Mitzvah Tafresh Yud Aleph, he addresses himself to his son, the Ulai Bini. He's afraid that his son, Tachshav, will come up with the following idea, that here I'm presenting God as the God of justice, the God of mercy, of compassion, V'yavaylai, and now my son is going to attack me, B'ameshekosu, based on the Pasuk in Tillim, V'keil Zoem B'chol Yom. And the Gemara says that Hashem is Zoem on a daily basis. And Ikar Rischa Kamei D'Kudshin Brichu B'chol Yom. Says the Chinuch to his son in response, Ata B'ni, Altit Ebaze Chalila. He says, don't make this mistake to assume Chalila Lekel Mirashea, as if he's evil against us and he wants to get angry on a daily basis against us. Umilvavcha, take this out of your heart. Lahamin bo baruchu ki im tachlis kol ashlemus. You should understand in your heart and accept it that God is the perfect God. And that Shlemus expresses itself in love for the world that he created, not in the opposite. V'inyan akas, but you'll ask me, so where is there room for divine anger? He says, lo ye'ra ye'ara banu. It's not because of Hashem that there's this anger, but rak mitzad heyosenu balei chomer hagarua. We are physical beings that are very limited, and our ethical behavior sometimes falls shy, and that's an understatement. Ubemes ki azam shezocher bo einenu rak al derech mashal inyan ha'olam. Kavanasam lomar, what do they mean by this zam? It's not something that's built into nature. Ki beyos rov b'nei adam shebol, but rather it's a result of the fact that if the majority of the people living at any one particular time on the globe, nimshachim acher tavosam, if at any given time most of the world are evil, they're only interested in pursuing their hedonistic desires and pleasures, they're only interested in worshipping their idols, at that point there's a judgment on the world. And now there's a constant midas hadin that would determine that the world should be destroyed. And that, he says, perhaps is what they meant by in Chazal when they said that v'zama b'chol yom, that there's always on a daily basis a rega of zam. What is that, and what is the significance of that rega of zam? And that is l'fisha olam nido nacharobo rubo. The world is judged by its majority. B'chol yom v'yom mischayev olam alasem haron b'oso rega kot nashar yashlim harov. At that moment in time, on a daily basis, you know, every day is a new unit. You know, like an Etch-a-Sketch, we start from scratch again. But in every day, the Maseim HaRoyim of the world pile up until it becomes at one Rega Katan, Yashlim HaRov Chote Be'echad Becheta, one particular sinner with his particular sin will be mashlim the rov. Now the scales are tipped in favor of kloya, of destruction. Is yidmu zechron v'rach zam ha'el, that moment in time when that punkt, you know, the bell rings, because at that particular sin that tips the scale in favor of the rov, that's the shazam, that's the rega of charon af in the world, in which the world is chayev. And hakol reuyim be also regam mikoach midas hadin lechalos. The midas hadin demands judgment that the world should cease to exist, should be completely destroyed. Ela shemidas harachmim achras miyad u'ma'amido. Here's where Hashem, with his midas harachmim, comes to save the world. And now we can understand very well how the name Kel could be used in the pasuk Kel Zoim B'chol Yom, paradoxically meaning that he is Zoim, he's angry at the world, wants to bring about its utter destruction. At the same time, it's Kel Midas HaRachamim, as the Nod Yehuda reiterates. We've seen it over and over again throughout Chazal. So we now have, within the name Kel, a very, very sensitive paradox. It's almost a Hegelian dialectic. We've got thesis and antithesis. The same Kel who is Zoem is the same Kel who is strong in Midas HaRachman. We can begin to see why we need that might and that power of Rachman. This goes beyond the normal Rachamim. It's the meta compassion of Rov Rachamecha, of the Koach of Kel as Rachman V'chesed, to allow the world to continue by simply shortening and terminating that rega of Zan. Now, we mentioned earlier that it was the Taz in his super commentary on Rashi, Divrei David, who raised this stira in Rashi. Let's see how, in his own words, he reconciles this contradiction. Nira dahachi svirale. This is what Rashi means to say. Dekel more al tokev gadol. The word kel itself is, shall we say, neutral. It can go either way. What it really means, its definition is tokev gadol, something very, very awesome, very, very mighty, very powerful. Zeshayachem l'tokev rachamim gemurim. It could be that this tokev gadol, this extreme power and might of Kel, is going to be for the sake of rachamim gemurim. Again, gemurim means that extra element of rachamim, tfei mishem ben dalet osios, which goes even beyond the rachamim of yud kei vav kei. But heim l'tokev midas hadin, it could also go the other way of midas hadin. Now, within the context of the yud gimel midas harachamim, obviously Rashi is going to employ the first interpretation, that first definition, that the tokev gadol of Kel is Rachamim, because the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim are tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu is meant and all of Klal Yisrael to repeat in supplication from Hashem, begging for the Midas HaRachamim. So in that context, Rashi must interpret Kel as the tokev gadol of Rachamim Gemurim that goes even beyond that of Hashem Hashem. So it's Hashem Hashem Kel, the Kel going beyond Hashem Hashem. Elsewhere, however, Rashi could define Kel as tokev gadol in the opposite direction, paradoxically. Now Kel becomes tokev gadol in Midas Hadin. And that we've already seen in the interpretation of the Sefer Chinuch, and to some extent in his foot, that says later on, the Tzlach, in the Gemara of Rizcha Kamishmaya, of Kel Zoyim B'chol Yom, that reg of Zam, when the world, you know, doesn't deserve to exist anymore, it should cease to exist based on Midas Hadin. That's the power of Kel that's going to bring about Chas Shalom, the destruction. But at the same time, Kel functions and becomes a Midas HaRachamim HaGedolim HaGemurim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save the world when it deserves to be destroyed, and terminate that rega of Zam to allow the world to continue to exist. Moshe Sternbach, who's a neighbor here in Har Nof, wrote a book on Chumash, which is called Tuv Tam Vadas, Tam Vadas on Parshas Chukas. He mentions a chiddush of Rabbi Itzel of Petterburg, or Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, one of the great Bali Musar of the last generation, on the pasuk that says Ki Rochatz Hashem Es Tzoas Bas Tzion, which literally the Tanakh is talking about Hashem washing away the filth of Tzion, of the people of Israel. Says Rav Itzel Blaser, what is the meaning that's being transmitted here in this pasuk? And it says something gevaldig. He says Hine Kasher Tinok Mitanef Es Atzmo, when a baby becomes filthy from Tzoa, Nimasu b'enei kol. Everybody, you know, packs out. You know, they can't tolerate the repulsive smell. Kula misrachim b'enei yichol l'ruchtzov l'anakoso. Who could actually dirty themselves and tolerate the smell and clean up the baby. Ach imo, it's only his mother, she ohavaso, that because of her endless love for the baby, misugelis letapel bo karoi, she knows that the child can't remain in that filth, and she's going to clean it off. Lahavir me'olav zumaso, ki berov avos einim argeshes b'miyus satinov. Her ava overcomes and trumps that element of mius, of being repulsed by the tinov. So the Novi says, ki cheinem chatoem shel Yisrael, the sins of Israel are like that terrible odor and the mius of the tzoa metunov. Ki rabu kolkach, the sins of Israel have become so myriad, so multiplied, acha'ein, no one could clean up Klal Yisrael and purify them. Zulas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo shemesugal lirchotz es tinofam, out of his rov chiba, his ava for Klal Yisrael, only he with a capital H is able to cleanse Klal Yisrael. Mavir zumosom ke'em harochetzes es benoha. What a beautiful mashal, even though it has a certain element of a banal, down-to-earth element, but it's a beautiful, beautiful mashal and a tremendous insight into the pasuk and the avas Hashem for Klal Yisrael compared to the love of a mother for her baby. And this perhaps could shed a light on Parshas Parah that we read from Chukas, because Rashi says about the Parah Aduma that this Parah Aduma, which is coming as a kapar for the Cheta Egel, and the mother of the Egel is of course the Parah, Mashal, says Rashi, Leben Shifcha. Imagine if you have a palace of a king, and a shifcha, who's just a maidservant, comes in with a baby, v'tinev paltin shemelch, and this baby just, you know, made a filthy mess in the palace. Amru, so they say, you know who should clean up this mess? Tovo imo, v'taneach hatzoa, kach tovo para utechaper al ha'egem. In terms of the function, the power, halachically, of the para to be mechaper, in the case of Tumah, we know that Tumah's mess engenders the requirement of not only Tefillah, but also Hazah from the Mei Paraduma, meaning the Mechatas of the Paraduma. That's the Hazah. And my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik Zichron Levrach, used to say that in the case of Tumah's mess, man does not have the capacity, the ability to cleanse himself. You know, the depression of the state of death is beyond. And therefore, the Rav Zichron Levrach, you would quote the Zohar. The Zohar would say that who is the Mazeh? And that's it's mysterious in the Pasuk in Tanakh. It's called Ish. And Chazal say in the Yalkut, Ish Zakarish Baruch Hu, Tichsiv Hashem Ish Melchama. And the Rav says that man himself cannot defeat Tumas Mes. Tumas Mes controls man. That's the destiny of man, the earthly mortality of man. And the Mazah here in the process of the Paraduma and Tara has got to be Ish. It's got to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's only Hashem who could be metairos from this tumah. So when it says Vehizar Atar al Atameh, that's a reference symbolically to Almighty God. He's the ultimate purifier. And a person who has a deep religious faith should not lose his faith in the face of death. He has to be cleansed from this contact with death, and that cleansing has to come from him, with a capital H. We cannot do it ourselves. And if that be the case, then we come back to what we said before, that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who's going to cleanse us, like the mashal of the aim who cleanses up the baby. And that's all, as Rabbi Yisrael Blaser says, because of Hashem's endless love for Klal Yisrael. Only he could play the role of a mother who cleanses her child from that tinuf and that tzoa and that terrible mius. And Yirotzen, it should be his will that with that powerful midah of Kel that we pray for today on a Monday and on every Monday and Thursday, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed V'Yemes, the Rav Chesed that goes in beyond regular Chesed, the Kael, that saves us from the Shas Hazam and makes it into a Rega which terminates. That Kael who accepts our reading of the Torah as a power to protect us, to bring about the Yeshua Natzolah. That power of Rachamecha Kael, which is a reference, an allusion to the Deshen of Yitzchak. And that's our merit, in the merit of all the above, and our understanding, our appreciation of the love of Hashem. It should be Kamayim Panim El Panim, Hashem's love for us as a mother should be reciprocated by our love for Him. And in that sense, in Mirtz Hashem, will be Zocher that our tefillos of Kel, Erech HaPayim, that begin with Kel, end with Kel, should bring about the Yeshua and the Hatzolah. B'mheirav Yomenu Kein Yiratzon. Amen.